Hi everybody, my name is Isabel and in this episode I will talk with different guests about the geological and physical geographic aspects that come across when you want to build a city. But we're not going to talk about the construction of normal cities. We're going to discuss the Earth's scientific view on city building on the planet Mars. My first guest of today's episode is Thomas Sanders, an Earth scientist from Utrecht University. He will tell us about cities on Earth and the main differences between the Earth and Mars. Thomas, can you explain the origin of cities on Earth to us?
Cities on Earth began blooming after the introduction and widespread use of agriculture. Naturally occurring crops in those regions were used in agriculture to produce larger food supplies, so a larger group of individuals could actually focus on things like trade rather than food collection. Agriculture arose in different places on Earth, and there seems to be one key factor in deciding where cities arise, and that is rivers. Rivers provide the needed water supply for growing crops. The landscape around rivers is mostly flat, and the ground is filled with nutrients from frequent flooding caused by these rivers.
Does Mars have any rivers?
Mars doesn't have any rivers like those we know and love on Earth.
Okay, so how is this going to be relevant for our journey to build a city on Mars?
When making a plan for the future, it's good to keep like historical information in mind. Building a city in a place where there's no flowing river in sight is not how cities on Earth started, so this is a challenge that we have to keep in mind. But Mars has many such challenges because of the ways in which the planet is different from Earth.
So what are some of these differences we will have to think about?
Well, first of all, the planet is much smaller than Earth. Because of this, the gravity on Mars is quite different from Earth. In fact, the gravity is only 3.711 meters per square second. That is more than 2.5 times smaller than the Earth's gravity, which we all know is 9.81, etc. So this means that objects and even human bodies are lighter on Mars than on Earth. So you could build higher buildings and you could jump to higher distances. Mars is also further from the sun.
Further away from the sun, what kind of impact would that have?
Mars receives less solar radiation than the Earth, so less heat from the sunshine. Mars also has a thinner atmosphere that doesn't trap this heat with the same efficiency as the Earth's atmosphere. So the mean temperature on Mars is about -67 degrees Celsius, which is way colder than on Earth. The atmosphere on Mars has a pressure of only 0.00065 atmospheres at ground level compared to the Earth's sea level atmospheric pressure of 1 atmosphere at sea level. So this is over 100 times smaller. And one of the reasons for the thinner Martian atmosphere is because Mars lacks a strong magnetic field. And the magnetic field deflects most of the solar wind from the sun, which can blow away some of the atmosphere. And it can also block things like ultraviolet radiation.
What would it mean for life on Mars if Mars does not have a magnetic field?
Well, if you don't have the magnetic field to deflect ultraviolet radiation, it means that ultraviolet radiation can travel closer to the Martian surface. So this means a lot of UV light reaches the surface, and this can be harmful to humans and other living organisms. And the thinner atmosphere also means there's a lower oxygen pressure.
So the atmosphere is very thin. Is it at least breathable?
The atmosphere on Mars consists mainly of CO2 and consists only of about 0.13% O2 compared to 21% on the Earth. And this combined with the lower atmospheric pressure in general, it means that the oxygen pressure on Mars is much lower than on Earth. The oxygen pressure on Mars is about 0.006 to 0.007 bar compared to 1 bar at sea level on Earth. There's no place on Earth that comes even close to these low values that we find on Mars. Even at the highest point on Earth, which is Mount Everest, the oxygen pressure is still about 0.06 bar, which is 10 times larger than what we find on Mars.
Okay, and are there any other obstacles we need to be aware about?
Mars has dust storms that can cover continent-sized areas and last for weeks at a time. Such storms occur about every 3 Mars years, but Mars also has even more intense storms, which fortunately for us occur more rarely. It's hard to compare these storms to those on Earth, though, because the atmosphere is much thinner on Mars.
And what will be the consequences?
It means that it's unlikely for these storms to tip or rip apart major mechanical equipment, but sand particles in the storms can be very abrasive. The sandstorm can also cause other problems, especially focusing on the dust settling on and in machinery. For example, solar panels can decrease the amount of sunlight that's hitting the panels, which means there's less energy production.
Okay, we have to overcome these circumstances if we want to build on Mars. Do you have any ideas how we can do this?
Adapt and improvise.
Okay, thank you for your time, Thomas, and thank you for your
No
explanations.
problem.
We now know what difficulties we will have to face when we want to build a city on Mars. We have to think about the best buildings we could live in to deal with these unknown circumstances. My next guest is Thomas Lekkerkerk. He will tell us more about the building materials we can find on the planet and about the building structures that will suit best to support human life on Mars. So, Thomas, what do we have to keep in mind when we want to construct buildings on Mars?
Well, of course, the conditions on Mars are quite harsh. The buildings we'll make on Mars will need to withstand strong pressure differences between the inside and outside, and they need to protect us from solar radiation, cold temperatures, and dust storms.
What would such buildings look like?
For the reasons stated earlier, you will need very thick walls. A very easy solution would be to dig down into the surface and use caves or craters. This means you'll need far less building material than you would need when building above ground because you already have quite a few walls.
Speaking of building materials, where could we get those from?
It's unfeasible to ship the materials all the way from Earth to Mars, so we'll have to make do with what's available on site. Luckily, studies have shown that you can make a kind of concrete with materials from Mars's surface. Using sulfur, which is quite abundant, you can bind small grains of Martian soil together to form a kind of Martian concrete, which should have enough strength to build most of the things we need. Other than concrete, we will need steel and other metals. On Earth, you would find metal ore deposits in areas that have experienced volcanic activity. Hot fluids like magma and water can carry dissolved metals to the surface and concentrate them. On Mars, there is evidence of volcanic activity. We just need to identify those areas in order to find the metals that we need. And steel can then be made from combining the iron ore in the volcanic areas with CO2 from the atmosphere.
And is there anything else we need to keep in mind about buildings on Mars?
Of course, a big problem will always be people's need for sunlight, especially with such thick walls that we'll need for protection. Being indoors all the time with small windows is not great for your mental health. One solution could be so-called light tunnels that are already implemented on Earth in certain tall buildings or basements, where you have sort of round window on the outside that catches a lot of light, which is connected to the inside with a tube lined with reflective material. The light will keep bouncing along in the tube until it reaches the inside, simulating a normal window.
Okay, that sounds cool. Thank you for your participation in this podcast and thanks for your explanations.
You're very welcome.
Humans also need food and water to survive. My next guest is Ellen, a physical geographer from Utrecht University. Ellen will explain how we can deal with this. We already spoke with Lopke about the lack of flowing water on Mars. Ellen, can you maybe explain to me a little bit more about how we can deal with this problem?
It is important to know that water is not liquid on Mars. So almost all water is in frozen form. So the first option we have is because water is needed for life to exist, and we need water as a source. We can ship water from the Earth to Mars, or we can use a local water source, and this option is easier. So you don't have to ship water across the galaxy every time. So water is not liquid on Mars since the pressure is too low for water to be stable in liquid form. Water can be found, almost always in the form of ice or in the form of water vapor in the atmosphere.
Is the ice on Mars the same as we can find it on Earth, or are there any differences?
No, not really. Water on Mars can be categorized into two or almost three categories. And the first one is water, which is mixed with dust or rocky material, and that is captured in rocks. So this water has to be heated to very high temperatures to get access to this water, so it is difficult to use. And the second form of water is almost entirely made of frozen water. So this is the most similar form that we can find on the Earth. And the third form is water that is, or it is not really water, but it's ice that is made out of frozen carbon dioxide. And this is also not really useful for humans. So the frozen water is the best water source we can use that is available on Mars.
Okay, and where on Mars exactly can we find these frozen waters?
Well, most of the water can be found at the poles as ice. So on the North Polar Cap, ice consists almost entirely of water ice. On the South Polar Cap, this ice is a thin layer of frozen carbon dioxide, but under this layer is water ice. But this ice lies much deeper than the water on the surface. And but also there are some sort of lakes between the equator and the North Pole, and these lakes are almost always made up out of water ice. But this water ice consists also out of saline water. So it is too saline to use, and it has to be filtered first.
Okay, so you think the best option to get water at Mars will be subtracting it from the North Pole?
Yeah, from North Pole, because this polar cap consists almost entirely out of water, or we can use some sort of lakes. We are still not sure of how they exist, but they are probably deeper within the Earth, or deeper in under the surface of Mars. Yeah, it has to be pumped, or the surface has to be removed first, and then the water can be drilled out of that.
Yeah, so you kind of have to construct a well to get the water to the surface where you need it.
Yeah, exactly. Some sort of well to pump the water, or in this case ice, out of the ground.
Okay, so the best location to build our city on Mars would then probably be close to some lakes or close to the North Pole, if you only look at the water aspect?
Yes. So if you know where the lakes are deeper within the Earth, then you can maybe, if you know where the lakes are within Mars, you can put a well near the lake and then build a city around the well.
Okay, so if we will build a city close to the North Pole, do we have any seasonal aspects we have to take in consideration? Because on Earth, the poles will grow in the winter. Is that similar on Mars?
Yeah, this also applies to Mars. So the with the seasons, the polar caps shrinks slightly when the temperature increases in summer. And then the ice directly goes from solid to gas form. But in the winter, the cooler temperatures cause the polar ice caps to grow to latitudes as low as 45 degrees, or halfway to the equator. And these caps are an average of 2 miles or 3 kilometers thick. And if they were to completely melt, they could cover the Martian surface with about 5 and 6 meters of water.
Okay, that sounds like a lot. So there will be enough water if we can subtract it all from the North Pole.
Yeah, if this water is all almost made of entirely out of water ice, we can use it as a source.
Okay, well, thank you for your explanation and thanks for your time.
No problem.
Now we know where we can find the water, we can focus on the food supply of Mars. Because if future generations are going to live on Mars, they should also have access to their own food sources, as it will be impossible to provide all the needed food and water from the Earth. My last guest of today's episode is Maaike, also a physical geographer from the Utrecht University. Maaike, if we want to grow crops on Mars, what do we need to think about?
Well, in general, plants need four basic things to be able to survive and grow, which are water, sunlight, air, mainly CO2 and O2, and nutrients.
And are there any nutrients on Mars?
Yes, the Mars surface is known to contain actually the majority of the plant essential nutrients, including nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
Okay, so does that mean that plants would be able to grow in Mars soils?
Well, not exactly. See, first of all, the presence of these nutrients does not necessarily mean that they are available to the plants. So take, for example, nitrogen, which is one of the most essential nutrients for plants. Plants require this nitrogen to be in a specific form, which is called reactive nitrogen. So examples of this reactive nitrogen are, for example, ammonia, nitrate, and nitrate, which are commonly used in fertilizer on Earth for soils, where we also don't have enough reactive nitrogen for plants. But on Mars, this reactive nitrogen has not been found in significant quantities.
Okay, on Earth we have plenty of places where we can find this reactive nitrogen in the soil, also without the excessive fertilization. How does this reactive nitrogen come into the soil?
Well, on Earth it is mainly formed by the mineralization of organic matter, but another way is by a process called nitrogen fixation, which is where certain microorganisms, some of which can live in symbiosis with plants, are able to capture the non-reactive N2, so the nitrogen gas, out of the atmosphere and make it into a form that is accessible for plants.
Okay, so we need life to produce this.
Well, there are also other sources to form reactive nitrogen. So examples of this are solar wind, volcanic activity and lightning, which can all provide some reactive nitrogen. And these processes could have happened also on Mars, so there could be some reactive nitrogen, but the actual presence of major quantities of reactive nitrogen is still unclear.
Okay, and can we fix this problem?
Well, one solution would be to fertilize the soil like we do on Earth if the soil is not fertile enough. So we can put ammonia, nitrate or nitrate in the earth like we in the soil like we do on Earth, but another solution could be the introduction of the microorganisms that carry out the nitrogen fixation. However, the low amounts of nitrogen gas in the atmosphere might not be sufficient to facilitate this nitrogen fixation under natural conditions on Mars.
Okay, and are there any other problems with nutrients we should consider?
Well, yes, because concentrations can also be too high for plants so that it becomes toxic. So examples are magnesium and iron. Those are both beneficial nutrients for plant growth. But if there is too much of them in the soil, then it will become toxic for the plants. And there are also certain other minerals like aluminium, chromium, cesium or arsenic, which are also toxic for plants and humans if we would get them via the plants. So if they are available in an uptakeable form in the soil, they will limit the growth of the plants or can make the plants poisonous for us. So it would be beneficial to be mindful of locations which contain a lot of these minerals. And there are also salts that have been observed in the soil of Mars. And these high salinities may also result in lower growth of plants. And then of special interest, there's this salt called perchlorate, which is found in high levels on the surface of Mars. And this chlorine is very toxic for humans, so if plants would take up this perchlorate out of the soil, they would also become toxic for humans. So we should be very mindful of these locations.
Okay, so we need to find a place with many of the essential nutrients, but without the toxic minerals that might be present. Are there any other things we should consider?
Well, the soil on Mars is also not exactly the same as we have on many places on Earth. So the soil on Mars is very crusty and dried. So this structure makes it more difficult to use. Also, the pH of the soil cannot be right for plants to grow in. And the water holding capacity of the soil might be a problem. Because this is mainly decided by the structure of the soil and the amount of organic content. So in many soils on Earth, we have a lot of organic content, and they are able to make sure that the soil can hold enough water for the plants, which they can then take up. But on Mars, that's not really there, so that would become a problem. So to make the soil more suitable for agriculture, different techniques have been proposed, like rinsing the soil, adding microbial life, so like bacteria and fungi and microbial organisms like earthworms, to make the soil structure and content better for the plants to live in.
Okay, so if we hypothetically could fix all these problems with the soil on Mars, will plants then be able to grow outside?
Well, no, plants will probably not be able to survive outside, because as mentioned before, the climate on Mars is really cold. So with the average temperature of minus 63 degrees Celsius, the plants will not be able to survive without protection from this cold. So plants would probably have to be grown inside, and also they will need enough CO2 and O2. So the first one is, of course, most important for the plants because they need CO2 to grow. But they also need, at least in the beginning, some source of O2 because, well, they also need to burn their glucose to get energy and to grow.
Minus 36 degrees sounds really cold to me. As Mars is further away from the Sun, will the lower light intensity also be problematic?
It kind of depends on where you are on the planet, as the sunlight is stronger around the equator than at the poles. But it does not really have to be a problem, because at the equator, the maximum sun intensity is comparable to Portland in Oregon. So the plants will be able to grow with these amounts of solar intensity, but if you go further towards the poles, the solar intensity will be lower, so it might become a little bit more difficult to grow the plants. And the large-scale dust storms might also be a problem for the plants, because they will block out the sunlight for a longer amount of time.
Okay, so in my opinion, Mars doesn't really sound suitable for agriculture.
No, it's it will be very difficult to grow plants on Mars, but luckily not all food has to be generated by agriculture. So other food sources that could be considered are farming of insects or cellular agriculture. So farming things like meat in a laboratory, so you don't need plants to grow. But I think you would want to have at least some plants to have a variated diet on Mars.
Yeah, that sounds good indeed. Okay, so if you had to pick one location to locate your city from the only the food perspective, you can maybe name one or some places which will be best to settle?
Well, yes, so there are actually two researchers, who Wamenink and Strang, who made a map which gives locations that would be suitable to go to on Mars from the perspective of a plant. So here they considered the mineral content, radiation levels, climate, but also terrain and cosmic radiation. And this tells us that at least around Mount Olympus, so the highest mountain, it's not very suitable to live there. But some locations, for example, on the northern hemisphere around the landing space of the Mars Pathfinder in Viking 1, those locations would be suitable. And on the southern hemisphere, just south of the equator, for most locations, except again near Mount Olympus, there are those are also kind of suitable for plants.
Okay, so on both the water and food perspectives, the northern hemisphere, a little bit close to the poles, would be best, do you think?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, thanks for your time.
So now that you've heard all the different aspects, we can come to the conclusion. To be able to live on Mars, you need to have a location that could provide all the necessary materials and nutrients we talked about. Sadly enough, with all the information we currently have available, we cannot say if there is a location like this. Maybe with some new information and possibilities in the future, we can find the perfect spot to live on Mars. But it will always be hard to make a living on Mars due to the lack of materials, nutrients, and easily available water on this planet. Thank you for listening to this episode, and until next time.